is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now, his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother is come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the gospel of the Lord."
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. I must admit, this is one of the texts in Scripture that has completely changed the way I see and understand everything. And there's a whole lot there, and I can't unpack it all today. And yet, here's your teaser. In some of those summer months, you know the ones where you're like, everybody's like, little bit tired, and there's a nice little lull. We're going to do a three-week series on this, and it's going to be interactive and engaging. We're going to dwell in this text over and over, and we are going to unpack a few more of those things. But today, I want to share one piece with you. I guess two. I got one out in the minute message, right? And I think that is part of it, because I think the gospel is less about is not about all the terrible things you've done, but it's a story about who you are. And this text is not about the terrible or the great things that these sons do. This text is about the love of the Father for them. This text is about who they are, that they are children of the Father. So now let me talk about economics. You saw that one coming, right? Tracking right. I remember sitting in, you do like maybe you don't. In economics, there's like this field of study called game theory. And you do all these little scenarios, and you get all these quadrants, and you talk about things that are like win-lose for one party, or lose-lose, and like all this crazy stuff, prisoner's dilemma, and things that we won't get into. But there's this scenario called win-win, and you get a little taste of it, and then you basically never experience it, because they go pretty much, like that's very rare occasion, that you actually end up in a scenario that's really win-win. And that's not a couple of steps down the line becomes in favor of one party or the other. So this idea of win-win, and you go, but it doesn't actually show up that much in our economy. I think a big part of the reason that we have trouble understanding these win-win scenarios, so, well, one is that we don't see them all that often, but two is that we can so easily operate out of this mentality of scarcity. In fact, like in economics class, we would talk about how like a lot of economics is based on scarce resources. There's only so much of something. There's only so much of something to go around. Which means if I give you some, it might mean I have less. That's from a place of there's only so much of this to go around. So if more is given to you, then probably less ends up with me. That's one of the reasons, that idea, right, of scarcity, of there only being so much, of if more goes to someone else, then it will mean eventually that less might be there for me. It's one of the things that makes it really hard, or made it really hard, but still some days, to figure out what in the world is going on in this parable and why the characters act the way that they do. In Jesus' day, there's almost no more insulting thing you can do in your life than ask your father for your inheritance early. Like, I don't even have an appropriate scenario for it in our modern world, because we don't have anything that's quite that offensive. It's like wishing he was dead, because that's something he would only do when he was dead. And it's doing so in a culture that's entirely built on honor and shame, where the most honored person in the household is always supposed to be the father. So to dishonor the father would leave you aghast and agape. That he would ask this question is offensive to the nth degree. That the father would grant the request is at least as offensive, and certainly far more stupid. He's allowing himself to be shamed. He's splitting it up so that it goes with one son, which means at the end there probably is less to be divided between the rest of the members of the household. So go, why would he do it? He's been, like, he gets asked this crazy thing, and the father goes ahead and does it. And I can't help but also think about the actions of the older son and how they kind of make like a little bit more sense. Like, I get that he was upset, He's like, hey, I've been here. I didn't do. You know, remember that horrible, terrible, incredible thing he did? Oh, and then he lost all the money too. And I was here the whole time. I'm the good son. I get it. I do. It seems to make a little bit more sense, which makes the father's message back to the older son make all the much less sense to me. Son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. You go, no, what about all the stuff you gave to him? That's not mine. You gave it away. It used to be something that might would be mine. Oh, and by the way, he's the elder son, so he would have gotten more inheritance than the younger son. But splitting it early means that's probably not going to happen. And then I heard something from a teacher. And here's where we're going from economics to math, but it'll come back around. You can't divide infinity. You cannot divide infinity. It's infinite. It's something, actually, infinity is this concept we can't actually understand. Like, even mathematicians and people that use this all of the time, we can't wrap our head around it. Like, that's part of the nature of infinity, is that it's bigger than what we can think. You cannot divide infinity. This, my friends, means that the economics of God start from a place of abundance, not scarcity. Where giving some to someone else does not mean there's less for me. Where there are, in fact, win-win scenarios, the whole thing has no losers, which sucks when you were going to be the winner. Do you hear me? That's that older brother, right? Like, but I did the right stuff. I got to the place where I'm about to win. And his brother gets the party. But both brothers, both sons, and us so often are in that place of scarcity. Where the love and grace and forgiveness of God for someone else, we feel like it might cheapen it for us. Or maybe we've even gotten to the place where we have like a little bit of guilt about how much God loves us. I don't know if you've ever been here. The place where like you're like, why does God love me so much? I'm not worth it. That's that younger son place that he's experiencing when he can't even finish the thing he rehearsed, right? He's like, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my dad, and this is what I'm going to say. He gets halfway through, and the dad stops him and marks him as a son. That's what the robe and the ring and the party are about. That he's still a son. And just because he's given so much to the younger son does not mean there's any less for the elder son, because you can't divide infinity. And so he has that beautiful message: you are always with me, and all that's mine, everything I have, is yours. The love and grace of God for this world is infinite. It's the kind of thing that when it's given away, there's not less of it. There's not less of it to be given to you. There's not less of it to go around, because there is always more. It is abundant to a level and a degree that we cannot comprehend. And so when God gives away love and grace and forgiveness so freely, God gives the same gift to everyone. All that is mine is yours. And just because someone else is getting it doesn't mean it's not there for you. In fact, this can be the really hard part. When it's given to somebody else, you know, the person that you didn't think should get any, you're supposed to join the party. You know, I did all the right things. I am the one who's made it. I'm the good son, remember? And this one, who, you know, did all that terrible stuff. And we all draw these lines, whether we think about it when we do it or not. When they, whoever they are, when they receive the same love and grace and forgiveness that you have received, it's cause for celebration. It's cause for celebration. We had to celebrate. For he was lost and now is found. He was dead and is now alive. Sure, I gave him all kinds of stuff, but everything I have is yours, and you are always with me. God is infinite. God's love is infinite. God operates out of this place of abundance. It is win-win, and that's hard to understand because we don't get that experience very often. But you can't divide infinity.